evening, everyone, and welcome to Going Shamanic. My name is Jennifer Ingrassio, and my medicine name is Snowhawk. I'm very excited tonight to host this show. I've been wanting to have it for a long time on horses as therapists. This show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any callers. In the new book, Healing with Horses, put out by Big Country Publishing, Kathleen Barry Ingram, a leader in the field, writes the following foreword introducing the connection between horses and healing. Many, many years ago, our ancestors sat around the fire sharing stories to inspire and support each other. Gathered with them were their animal companions. You might see a tabby cat sitting on the lap of an old woman, a dog by his master's feet, and grazing around the circle, you would see and feel the horses that had carried them on their journey. Once in a while, a horse would look up and gently come over and nudge their nose into the circle. They were and are today in relationship with us and listening with their hearts. Today, we may not literally have horses carrying us on their backs, but because of our deep relationship and kinship with them, they are willing to accompany and support us on our journeys. I believe it's because we all carry the genetic memory of shared support and stories that we rely on the horses to bring us back to our souls, our spirit, and to see with our hearts. The FEEL, Facilitated Equine Experiential Learning Program, is an excellent testament to the power and grace that is possible when we engage and learn through the way of the horse. Many years of friendship and collaboration with Wendy and Andre, their herd, and their colleagues have reinforced my belief that horses can help us rediscover what I call the blueprint of our souls. From an authentic place of being, we can find new possibilities, and the work with horses can help us take that first vulnerable step towards our expanded futures. Our work in the growing field of FEEL is often subtle and appears to the outside observer that nothing is happening. What is happening is that the facilitator and the horse engage with the client in mutual exploration and practice the concept I have named holding the sacred space of possibility. The sacred space is that place between the sacred pause where grace and guidance happens. Together, the facilitator and the horse create a container of support that is a fully engaged form of patience that is crucial to finding innovative solutions to activate the authentic self. This is the place where healing emerges and the person and the horse can reclaim and embrace their soul's blueprint. Tonight, we have a very experienced guest named Wendy Golding. She's a respected leader in the field of equine facilitated learning and the president of Horse Spirit Connections, a not-for-profit corporation dedicated to promoting transformation and personal growth through the wisdom of the horse. I had the pleasure to be on Wendy's farm and to meet her herd, and it was a fairly transformative experience. And so I've been wanting to have her on the show forever, and welcome Wendy, finally.
Thank you so much, Jen. It's a real honor to be on your show because I'm able to talk about two of my loves, shamanism and horses, and how the two have really married so beautifully together. So yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
I was actually going to ask you about that, so you're very welcome. Tell us a little bit how they do go together.
Well, for me, I really started to find the blueprint of my soul, to use Kathleen's words, when I discovered shamanism. And for me, that was really connecting my mind, body, spirit, so that I could be open to the possibilities, that I could open to a higher consciousness. And for me, shamanism was all about energy and connection. It was understanding that everything in the world has life, has energy, and we're interacting with everything around us all the time. And then it also provided that doorway opening for a higher connection, actually to my own and to Great Spirit's consciousness. So it allowed for me to understand that there was so much more in the world, that I was being supported, that we're just one as part of something so much greater, the matrix of life, if you will. And so when I discovered the horses in this way, it's like, wow, I discovered the horses were masters of energy. They knew so much more about energy than I ever will, I'm sure. I just watched them play with our chakras, with our energy bodies, and how they can stream consciousness. And so they've really opened up an even greater doorway to a spiritual consciousness for me. It was like shamans of old used the horses, not shamans of old, shamans, use horses. They don't use horses. They work with horses to travel, to retrieve souls, to travel out to the Nagual, if you will. So when I started doing this work with the horses showed me how to travel much further and deeper than I ever have before. But what was so fascinating is that as we worked with horses to become more sentient, that reawakened their consciousness so that they could do this connection on their own, then it opens up a doorway for us as humans to open up a bigger doorway. And then it just becomes this beautiful infinity loop between horses and humans in that we're evolving together. And of course, humans and horses have been evolving together since, what, millions of years. So it's just this beautiful evolution now that they're starting to so impact our soul consciousness.
I'm curious. I know a little bit about it from reading the book, but you're a fairly traditionally trained rider in many ways because horses have been in your life for many years. How did you evolve into working with horses in this new way from the ground? And when did you start to realize that horses were more than just a fun way to ride around?
Well, it was one of those life-defining moments. I was playing polo. That's what I used to love to do when I was riding a horse. It was the most fun on horseback. It was exhilarating. You were a partner with your horse. It was a lot of fun. So Andre and I bought our farm when we were playing polo. And we had, I think, about 12 horses at the time. And I think Spirit kept knocking on my door, and I kept ignoring it. So finally I said, okay, we need to do something drastic here. So I fell off playing polo and herniated a disc in my neck. And the neurosurgeon said, you can't ever ride a horse again. You can't play polo. And some of your activities are going to be restricted, but you can have a life. He was saying, if we were going to try and fix your neck, there's a possibility of paralysis. So right now, take what you have and go live your life. Well, I was absolutely devastated because I had no idea. I didn't know how to relate to horses on the ground. I had only ever been on their backs. Mind you, I had developed a really great relationship with my horse, Monty, who taught me a lot. But I really didn't know what to do with them on the ground. So that started me on a journey to finding my spiritual path because I needed to find something else that I could be really passionate about. So I was in the Omega bookstore in Toronto, which is a New Age bookstore. And as I was walking down the aisle, this book flies out at me, literally, and lands at my feet. And I pick it up, and it was a book about shamanism. And I had been kind of intrigued, but really never looked into it before. So I bought the book, of course, and took it home, read it, and said, this is what I want to do. And so that started over 15 years of engaging, learning, training in shamanism. And that was absolutely beautiful. And then it was through a rites of passage ceremony where it was the added intent that was given to me by Spirit was to find out what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And I was very interested in that because at the time we had a corporate business that I didn't feel was very spiritual at all. So it was going into a sweat lodge for 12 hours. And it was called the Owl Ceremony, Jen. I'm not sure if you've done it.
No, I haven't.
Well, it was amazing. And, of course, the owls are guardians of the night. So it was a ceremony going from sundown to sunup. And you made a mask out of owl feathers. And you wore this mask the whole time in order to align with the owl's energy and the owl's vision, of course, at night. You then had, at a certain point, you lit candles and you had a mirror. So you were looking at yourself, but it really wasn't yourself. You were looking at your owl mask with your eyes coming forth to see what the vision was of your future. So eventually I had these incredible visions of myself working with horses on the ground, and the horses were healing people. And it was just incredible. I was seeing one of my horses, one after another, just coming up and doing this amazing work. And it was so healing. It was so transformative. And when I thought to look for myself in the picture, I saw myself as the facilitator between the human and the horse. And that started the journey. I came out of that ceremony and started talking about what I had seen. And someone, thank goodness, had just read Linda Kohanoff's books. And they said, that sounds like what Linda was writing about. So I gobbled up Linda's books. I went down and took a workshop, a 7-day workshop with Linda called Riding Between the Worlds. And I certainly rode on my world and my path. And I saw the transformation in the other people and myself, but most importantly in the horses. The horses weren't just horses anymore. They were these sentient beings, and they were truly the healers, the teachers. They were the ones that were driving what was happening and the healing that was happening. So then I applied to be an apprentice of Linda's and was accepted, and that was about 10 years ago. And we've been doing this work ever since. And we sold our company about 5 years ago so we could do this work full time because it is such a joy. It's opened up my heart. I always loved animals. Animals are, they're pure love. It's unconditional. They don't judge you. And so I've always loved animals, loved horses. But the horses taught me to open up my heart to people and to really feel that compassionate love and really take the healing that I've been learning in shamanism to a much greater plane.
Now, what is it about horses in particular that make them such natural healers? Because, I mean, we hear about a lot about animal therapy these days, but, you know, I've worked with horses and I've worked with dogs, for instance, and there's a distinct difference.
And I would say on a very practical level, the biggest difference is that horses are prey animals. And say, for instance, you mentioned dogs. And dogs are predators, and humans are predators as well. But for instance, we've got two big dogs at home, and every time you come through the door, they're leaping all over you, they're licking your face, they're wagging their tail. They just love you, right? Mm. With horses, on the other hand, because they're prey animals, they've been given this incredible gift to read the energy of whoever or whatever is around them. And it doesn't matter whether it's horses, humans, whatever kind of life it is, that they've been given the gift to determine if that person is friend or foe. They're reading the energy so that they can determine who you really are on the inside. They get below the masks that we've been taught to wear in our society. So therefore, if I'm going down to the barn in the morning and I'm nice and relaxed, and the horses are going to greet me one way, they're going to interact with me. If I come up to the office and I have a bad phone call and I go back to the horses, they're going to respond to me in a totally different way. And this is what allows them to become such great teachers. They're like biofeedback mechanisms. So that if you make one change, whether it's your emotions, how you're holding your body posture, how you're communicating, they'll make a change in response. So you can see immediately whether it becomes what is called a felt experience. That's why people can remember their experience with horses and forget about lectures and books and all that other stuff. I get emails all the time from people who had an experience a year ago, 2 years ago, and they exactly remember the horse, the experience, what the horse taught them, because it's this felt experience in their bodies. They feel it in all aspects, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and with their life force energy. It makes such an impact on people. The other thing is that they're natural empaths. And empaths are beings that feel the emotions of others. And they were gifted this again because they're prey animals, and it really helps them survive. And it was meant originally in their herds because they're herd animals. They live in community. And it was so important for them to know what the lead mare, the lead stallion was feeling, what it was doing. So that this empathy that they feel, they've just transferred that over to feeling the emotions and the feelings of people. Mm. And so that they can actually help us release emotions. So many, I know for myself, I repressed emotions for most of my life. And I thought that was the healthy thing to do until I realized that was causing dis-ease in my body, actually giving me pain. So being around the horses can actually cause a spontaneous release of repressed emotions. You don't need to go into the story of it. It's just they're releasing it on your behalf.
It's so funny you mentioned Linda's books, because I read her books way before I started shamanism. I started having dreams about horses, and I couldn't really figure it out. And people started sending me books about horses, like, you know, colleagues be like, Jen, this book is so you, you have to read this book. And I'm like, huh? So one of these books was The Tao of Equus, the first Linda Kahanov book that I read. And then I did what you did. I gobbled up all of her books after that. I remember breathing a sigh of relief when I was reading that book, because I could totally relate to the horses. I've always been like horses, very empathic. I know what's happening in a space, even if people aren't saying it outwardly. And as a kid, and for most of my life, I always thought, there's something wrong with me. Other people can't do this, and they don't have the level of sensitivity that I have. So I was always trying to be less sensitive to my environment. And it was never really a good fit, but also I ended up getting overwhelmed a lot by crowds. For a long time, I couldn't be in a group of people because I felt everything. So anyway, when I started shamanism, I found out that the horse is my power animal, which of course is the animal that is most like your essence. And it made so much sense to me. I started to see how the empathicness wasn't a liability. It was just something I had to learn how to work with in a different way than I had been taught. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about, because I know Linda talks a lot in her work about the value of emotions, like what that they're information and what all of that means. So could you talk a little bit about that for people that might be out there trying to get away from their emotions? As a general rule in life?
Absolutely. And certainly I can relate, Jen, because most of my life I couldn't be with crowds of people because I was feeling so much of what was happening around me. But I didn't understand it at that time, and it was scary. So I ended up shutting most of my emotions down and my intuition down. So I was doing what I called flatlining. So I wasn't feeling any of the uncomfortable emotions, which as I call them, not bad emotions. There are no bad emotions. But they can feel uncomfortable at times, whether you're feeling angry, frustration, or any of those, or sadness. But because I was flatlining, I also wasn't feeling happiness or joy or contentment. So I find sometimes the easiest way to describe emotions is they have energy. You can feel an emotion. Like if you walk into a room, most people can feel if there's tension there. Sound also is energy, and you can't see it. But do you remember in school the sound waves where they went above the line and below the line, and they curved up and down? Mm. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I liken emotions to the curves and the waves of sound. What I was doing when I was repressing all my emotions was I was flatlining, so I wasn't feeling the good emotions, I wasn't feeling the uncomfortable emotions. As soon as I started to release some of those emotions that were repressed and held so tightly in my body, I started to spike. So I would spike into exhilaration and then spike really down into rage. And that was really uncomfortable. But it's like, if you think about when we're repressing our emotions, it's like a can of pop. And if you shake it really hard and you open the lid and it fizzes way up in the air, That's like if you've been repressing your emotions for a long time. As soon as somebody does something and it really should just make you a little bit annoyed, but because it's touching or triggering an emotion that's been buried, it becomes this big thing. So what the horses have really taught me is what I call emotional agility. It's allowed me to flow with my emotions, understanding that each emotion has information for me. And that if I can just understand what my emotion is trying to say to me, then I can flow with the emotion and then go back to balance. And it doesn't matter whether it's positive or uncomfortable. In fact, I've learned so much more from my uncomfortable emotions that it's been amazing. So horses, they feel an emotion. They'll take action and then go right back to grazing because they've released whatever they felt fully in the moment. That's why they say that yes, some animals have trauma, but a lot of them don't, because when they're experiencing something very, you know, uncomfortable or whatever, that they'll shake themselves afterwards. And it's the body's natural way of releasing the energy of that emotion. Again, we as humans, we hold on to it. We don't release it. It really is a way of becoming aware that we are not, it's what I call the pause button. So if something happens and you start to feel an emotion, by understanding our emotions, being accepting of them, working with them, it allows me to pause for a moment so that I just don't go into reaction mode. I can go into response with some form of conscious awareness. And that keeps me out of all kinds of trouble.
That developing the neutrality, I think, with the emotions was really helpful for me, where I was able to just be with the emotions and feel them and kind of track them and figure out, well, why am I feeling like this? Like, what's going on? Instead of just letting the emotion kind of carry me away, and then it would never end, you know, or...
Right.
Or like you said, something would happen in my life and then I'd be going down that same train again. And it's actually made me able to be in a space with people and be neutral around their spikes and their emotions. Because I know, okay, well, there's something going on for that person. And they don't know what to do with their emotions, but I can just take that as information instead of having to react to it in some way, which is how I used to do my life, and that was not working. That was causing me a lot of stress and probably the people around me as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what I have discerned is that we do some teachings around the basic emotions, And what we ask people to do is, what's fascinating is that when we feel a particular emotion, like say it's fear, I feel that in my chest, in my throat area. If I feel anger, interestingly enough, I feel it in my clenched hands. Even though I've never hit anybody in my life, that's where I feel anger. And each emotion, you feel it in a different place in your body. So if you start to learn where you feel a particular emotion in your body, then as soon as you're starting to feel something, if you can go into your body, feel where it is, then that gives you a step up, that gives you a very quick moment to say, oh, that's what I'm feeling. And then we have questions that you can ask yourself to very quickly process it. So as you say, you don't go into the reaction mode. It allows you to move through the emotion. We want people to feel their emotions. There's absolute joy in feeling an emotion, even if it feels uncomfortable at the time. The other thing that the horses do in combination with this is they help us remember to feel and be present in our bodies. Even with our breath. I know in shamanism, do you remember those exercises with the breathing, Jen? The discipline, you know, that you had to breathe in four, you know, hold four, breathe out four. One of the first things the horses said to me was that we as humans have forgotten how to breathe, how to breathe fully, consciously throughout our body. And so they're always constantly reminding us that if we're breathing, then we're not just up in our heads. Because in our culture today, we tend to live in our minds. That we're either on computers, we're on our iPhones or iPads, you know, we're always busy with our mind. We're really having that deep soul connection with yourself is only when you can be aware of your mind, but also your heart and your gut. And it's the three in combination that we can flow with life, that we can find meaning and purpose again. And the horses really help us come back to our body awareness. So many people come to see me and they have no idea of what their bodies are doing, what they're feeling in their bodies. And of course, that's all tied into our emotions in that we've repressed our emotions. We don't want to feel them. So that means we're denying our bodies.
It's funny hearing you talk because the my way of connecting with my body, because I have physical and sexual abuse in my background, and the way I started learning how to connect with my body was through dance. I'd go to dancing meditations and just dance my ass off for 2 hours, you know, a few times a week. And I started to, all those things that were stuck in my body, all those emotions and those past past experiences started coming forward. But because I was dancing, I could actually move them. They didn't stay stuck. And it was interesting because I work with parents and kids a lot. And in teaching kids self-regulation, I noticed that kids are a lot like horses. They pick up everything that the adults around them are feeling, whether the adults are expressing it or not. And so when I started working with parents, I also started talking to them about breathing, figuring out where is your energy in your body. If it's really high up, you're going to have a really hard time helping your kids to self-regulate, because they'll just keep responding to your energy being really, really high up. Can you talk a little bit about how horses can help us to maybe learn some of those, like taking us through a session, like someone comes to see you and they want to learn something about self-regulation? How do you start with people, just so people get a visual of what this kind of would look like?
First thing that I would do is take them to visit our herd. And so initially it's in the barn, so the horses are in stalls. We don't have any bars on our stalls, so it's very easy to engage with the horses. But what we ask people to do is to not talk to the horses and not to touch the horses. And this is very, very hard. Even after all these years, it's really hard not to want to touch a horse. But I have found that when we're going out to touch or pet a horse, then we're not aware of the other intuitive feelings that can be awakened in our bodies. So that's the idea of meeting the herd, is that it's a way of quieting our mind. It's like going into a quiet meditation, if you will, with the horses. So you want to quiet your mind and just start to become aware with your senses what each of the horses, what their personality is. So you want to see what you can glean about that horse. Or just become aware of what you're feeling in your body or what emotions are coming up for you, what you're thinking as you're going from horse to horse. And a lot of times what's happening in this equation with the horse and human is that the horses are determining which person is best for them to work with. Because each horse has its own personality, has its own gifts of healing, just like doctors do. They all specialize. So as the people are going through meeting a horse, or horses in this case, then the horses are actually having the opportunity to assess the person, and we as the facilitator can assess and determine which horse is the best horse to work with that person. Most times, the person thinks they've chosen the horse, but it's actually the other way around. And then what we would do is go into, we have an arena, a covered arena, and we have a round pen set up. So it's a 60-foot round pen. And the first activity with the horses is called connections. And it's where the horse is at liberty in the round pen. And with guidance, we ask the person to go into the round pen and we teach them how to feel the energy layers of the horse. So each person has their own aura, their own luminosity, their own energy field. Well, so does a horse. In fact, it's even bigger than that of humans. So we teach people about how to feel with their bodies these energy layers to determine where the personal space is of the horse, to feel where the energy is stronger in the horse, whether it's the front or the back. And then my favorite is we ask people to do a heart connection with the horse. And this is because the HeartMath Institute in California, they've done a lot of research around our heart. And our heart is not just an organ. The electromagnetic energy of our heart is 5,000 times greater than that of our mind. And the electrical energy of our heart is 60 times greater than that of our mind. They've discovered neurons now in our heart, which means that our hearts carry memory. Well, that's no really big surprise. But what they're discerning is that our heart is sending out this electromagnetic energy. It's going feet away from the physical confines of our body. And then another person's electromagnetic energy is coming towards us. So we're always receiving and sending out energy. And so what they've talked about is heart resonance and heart coherence, that if we can be together, it's like when you're with your life partner, or even when you have that moment with your child, or when you're with anyone, a best friend, you have those moments where it's called in training. One person is in training the other heart to smooth out. Like when someone's stressed or anxious, the rhythms of the heart are very choppy and erratic. If someone is calm, loving, in that very good space, their heart rhythm is very smooth. And so by entraining the other person, the one person's heart energy can help smooth out the other heart's energy. The other person's heart energy. But what they also found out is they did tests with horses and humans. And the horse's heart is 5 times bigger than that of the human heart. So therefore, the electromagnetic energy is so much bigger. They also found that the horse's heart beats 3 times slower than the human heart. And what this means is that it helps us by the horse's heart will entrain ours, that we can slow down our heart rate, and that helps us put us into an alpha state, which helps us be in a meditative state. And in that meditative state, we can do so much more healing for our body and for our heart, our mind, and all aspects of our being. So this heart connection with the horse, we're asking people to stand next to the horse, just open up their heart. It's like visualizing a flower unfolding and then sending their love to the horse's heart. And you can see the horse respond to this. Even if people are thinking, oh, this is stupid, if they really make a sincere effort of sending heart energy to the horse's heart, they feel it and they show it. They lower their head. They soften their eyes. A lot of times it looks like they're going to sleep. They'll lick and chew, and that's one way our horses have of letting you know that whatever you're feeling in the moment or thinking in the moment, you're being authentic, you're being real. That's what the horses want. They want us to be congruent, that what we're thinking and feeling is the same on the inside as on the outside. So this heart connection can be so profound for people. We work with a lot of at-risk youth, and we had this young lad. He was 11 years old, and I was describing a heart connection, and I made this huge blunder, and I was talking about love and care. And, of course, these kids didn't know what that was. I felt so bad. And so I'm trying to reframe it, and I just thought, you know, the horse is going to take care of this. And it was Paris, one of our black mares, and he opened up his heart. And Paris just enfolded him. And he came out of there 3 minutes later just beaming. He gave me this great big hug, and he said, that is the best experience of my life. Mm-hmm. So this heart connection can look different for anybody. It can be a time of just absolute peace, feeling pure connection. It's that felt experience I was talking about earlier, where you know that there's somebody there that's supporting you, feeling you. It can be just releasing those floods of tears that you don't know where they're coming from. It can be euphoria. It can be a way of having this incredible spiritual experience with a horse. People have had past life experience with the horses.
It's interesting to hear you talk because, first of all, I can hear your joy and your passion for sure in your voice. And also what comes to mind is just the... what can I say? I think the state of intimacy, you talk about it in the book actually very well. You say, in quotes, Monty didn't want to be restrained in any manner, very much like myself. I found relationships with humans restricting. Intimacy was not something I invited into my life. Instead, I needed to control everything around me. It was the only way I felt safe, unquote. Mm. Why has it been important for you to open your heart, and why might that it be an important part of healing for someone else?
For me, Jen, it was, well, I think I'm what people now call a highly sensitive person. And I was born into a very British family where there weren't emotions and there wasn't intuition and everything was very cold and mannerly. And unfortunately, I was abused, sexually abused as a young person. And so that just then shut down my heart even more. And it was like I created castle walls around myself. And then with my first marriage, I was very young, but I wanted to find emotions. I wanted to find that big, happy family that I didn't have. So I made the mistake, my first husband was Ukrainian, and so I'm going into this huge family affairs, and they're just incredible, right? So I think I married his family and not him. And then I was abused in my first marriage as well, and that then just finished, shutting down my heart. So it was, for me, I didn't allow anybody in. I wasn't vulnerable. I felt that having those strong walls, I was being a warrior. And then I entered the corporate world because I had to survive. And I felt I had to be strong. You can't cry. You can't, because then you look weak. So I had all this messaging that I took with me for years, and I carried this like plated armor all the way around my body. It wasn't until I met Andre, who he was able to melt my heart to a certain point that I could have this incredible, rich experience again, a loving relationship, that I could trust myself and have faith in him. And then it was shamanism that really started cranking open that door way even further, because I felt supported by something much bigger than myself. So I was starting to feel safe being out in the world. But it was really the horses that allowed me to live my life from my heart. And I know that a lot of people say that, but it really is true. If you're living through your heart, you're totally present with what's happening, whether it's a hummingbird flying by, as it did this morning, and just being able to be aware of that hummingbird and take joy in just watching it feed off a flower. It's allowing yourself to be present to whatever is going around you instead of what I was saying in the book is trying to control everything. If I'm trying to control everything, I'm afraid of what's going to happen in the future. I'm anxious about what happened in the past. I'm so busy with my mind that I can't be present to the joys of living in the present. So that's what the horses really taught me, and to be able to transfer that feeling, to teach me that I didn't need to be fearful anymore about opening up my heart. That, in fact, vulnerability is the biggest strength that we can have. Our horses, when they're in a session with someone and they want to teach someone about the strength of vulnerability, they will get down on the ground on their knees and lay down, roll, so that they're exposing their stomach. And of course, for prey animals, this is the most vulnerable time and point they can be. So they will do this just to demonstrate to people that it's okay to be vulnerable. In fact, that is your strongest, when you can be yourself, when you can have the strength to love yourself, respect yourself, to be able to be in that place of vulnerability. It opens up so many gifts. It opens up that gift of compassion for yourself, for others. And this is how horses connect. It's through heart to heart. It's not through our minds. In fact, a lot of our horses, if somebody is so busy in their mind and we haven't been able to get them into their body, the horses won't have anything to do with them. They'll just keep walking around the round pen, and they'll wait until they can see that the person can drop into their bodies, drop out of their minds.
And, you know, the amount of stress that living like that causes is just, it's worth doing the work. And also, you know, if we trust ourselves and if we love ourselves and we're present, then we can pretty much handle everything life throws at us, even if there are challenges. So, you know, I know
absolutely.
A lot of people out there are probably going, I have opened up my heart before and there's no way I'm going out there again. So, but yeah, the horse is definitely, I think too, it's like anything else, unless you have an experience of it, a felt experience, like in shamanism, I always say it's not a belief system. It's experience. You go out and you do a ceremony, you have an experience. No one can say to you, well, that didn't happen, because of course it did. And you have all this memory in your body and felt memory that no one can take away. So the horses are fantastic teachers that way.
Thank you, Jen. I mean, that's one thing that I don't think I've said yet. I mean, people feel safe around the horses because they're not judgmental. They're not there to judge who you are, what you've been, what you're going to do. They accept you for who you are in this moment, and that's absolutely perfect. So people feel very safe to talk to the horses. And I know at times when I've suggested it to people and they look at me like I'm crazy, but it's like, no, go talk to the horse. They may not understand every word you're saying, but they understand the energy behind the words. And they can respond to you. It's amazing to see our horses when someone's talking to them and expressing something or even asking them something, and they're nodding their heads up and down and sometimes even side to side to say no. But they really are engaged with you in that moment. And so it's like that's where the youth, you know, the horses respond to the youth so differently than they do to adults. A, because of that armoring that we've already talked about that we have as adults. So the horses can respond so much quicker with the young people's heart. But I mean, with the youth, it's because at that stage in their life, they're going through hormones, they're going through that rebellion stage. They don't want to talk to adults. They don't trust anything that adults say. So it really is a place where the youth can feel comfortable and actually start to learn how to work with their emotions, how to be in relationship again. Because they can learn with a horse and it translates back into their life. We had a young girl, and we're getting so many of them now, that they're so anxious that they can't even go to school. Mm. And their parents bring their kids here, and they, you know, it's like a last-ditch effort. We've tried everything else. We might as well try the horses. We've heard that this can work miracles. And they do, because the horses can, A, they have fun with the horses. This sounds all terrible, right? Releasing emotions. You know, actually having this interchange with a horse can be exhilarating. It's full of love. It's peaceful. Yes, we are releasing emotions, but it's also accepting emotions. It's it can be a really fun and neat experience. The other thing I wanted to say, just while we were talking about it, Jen, about the effects for people. For myself, I had a back injury. I had a deformed vertebrae in my spine as a young child. I suffered with that up until my early 50s. And it was only the work with my emotions, releasing all that repressed anger and rage that I lodged in my lower back from the abuse, that once I release those emotions, I am pain-free. So it's so true that emotions, if they're not expressed, if we're not feeling them, they lodge in our bodies.
I remember reading Linda's book, one of Linda's books, I forget which one it's from, but she talks about how if we learn from horses how to truly be sensitive to the environment around us and to the energy around us, that there probably wouldn't be as much conflict in the world.
Absolutely.
And I thought this was interesting because when I worked with horses in this way, I was at Sandra Wallen's farm in Maple Ridge, and she also studied with Linda. And I was having a hard time with somebody in my life at the time. It was a very volatile relationship, and I wasn't sure what was happening or what I needed to do about it. So she had me actually do a body scan around this issue when I got there, which was fascinating in terms of my body was screaming this information to me as I was just putting my attention from head to toe on what was going on. As soon as I went into the round pen with the horse, with Grace, I was working with her, she started pushing me around with her nose. And I just kind of stood there. I wasn't able to really do anything. And then it was just a flood of tears came out. And as soon as I got that, she wasn't trying to hurt me, but she was trying to show me that what was going on was I didn't have good boundaries. I was allowing this person to push me around in my life. She just sat there with me while I just let all that stuff go. And then after that, she taught me how to actually set good boundaries and maintain them. And, you know, I probably could have gone to therapy for like years and not learned what I learned in 2 hours with that horse that afternoon. Because it was such a, you know, she wasn't only teaching me physically, she was teaching me emotionally, she was teaching me spiritually. There was a part that was appealing to my mind. And this was all happening at the same time. I couldn't separate out the pieces. So when I went back into my life and I had to approach this person and deal with this person, I went in with a very different approach and awareness than I had before. That's a bit hard to explain, but it served me really, really well, for sure.
Thanks for sharing that, Jen. Mm. So wonderful that you've had an experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people say, we've had people that have been in therapy for years, and they say, we can do, you know, a 2-day workshop with you, with the horses, and it's better than 6 months of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very quick, it's easy, it lasts.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back a little bit to what Linda said as well. Now, sometimes there are horses that have human problems, as I think I've heard Buck Brownerman say before. You began at some point to start working with horses that were quite reserved or aggressive. What is it about your approach that worked when other approaches failed?
It really is all going back to that heart connection. Now, sometimes a horse's heart is shut, just like humans, usually because of what we as humans have done to them. So we rescue and rehabilitate a lot of horses. And so the first thing that we're doing is showing them that they can be safe here. So we let them be horses. Mm-hmm. We let them be in a herd. We let the other horses talk to them. But it really is developing that a really deep relationship with the horse. And we call ourselves horse listeners because we're listening to each horse, what that horse needs or wants. It's not a cookie-cutter approach. The same approach is not going to work for every horse. Each horse is so different. One horse, it took 1 month before she was doing the work, and it was just incredible. Another horse took 2.5 years. So it's really having the patience to create for the horse that safe environment. For the horse, that's number one concern is safety. Above all else, it's safety. That's why, especially being a prey animal, that's why it's so important to them. So they have to learn that you as a human are safe and become part of their herd. And horses really like people to be leaders, good leaders. As you say, the horse taught you to set boundaries, good boundaries for yourself. So to work with these horses, you really need to be a good leader within yourself. But that doesn't mean that you're controlling and dominating. Mm-hmm. It means that you can be in a consensual relationship. This is how, for us, to regain the horse's sentience is to give them choice again. And one of the biggest ways you can give a horse choice is how close we come into their personal space and whether we touch them or not. We had a horse, Thor, that came from a therapeutic riding place where there he was taught, he's a big Percheron, big black Percheron, and he was taught that the children could do anything to him, pull his mane, kick him, do whatever. He had to put up with it. So when he came here and I told him, well, no, you can choose if I touch you. Well, he wouldn't let me touch him for 3 months. And I had to respect that. So it's all about creating softness. It's creating an invitation. So everything that we do, we try to do with the horses – it's an invitation for them to participate, to do something with us, even just walking with them. I want to invite them to come with me. I'm not going to drag them where I need to go. It's really helped me change my whole leadership style, because I used to be a very dominant leader, and now it's a consensual leader. It's knowing who the best person or the best horse is in that moment and allowing someone else to take the lead. I actually feel like the horses are so much more intelligent than we are, except cognitively. Right now, cognitively, I would say that we are more intelligent, but in every other way, they are so much more intelligent than we are. I so highly respect them. Here these horses are that we as people have abused them in unimaginable ways, and yet they can come back and be of such service to us, and they do it with no grudges, with nothing, just pure heart. So it's meaning it's going back to that heart connection with horses and being willing to see what they want, what they say. Horses communicate telepathically. So I don't say that I'm a horse or an animal communicator, but the horses have learned how to talk to me telepathically. It was our lead mare, Pappy, who was very concerned about one of her herd mates. And so I was just standing there being an empty cup, if you will, in shamanic terms. And I started hearing this voice saying to me, "Dancer's sick. There's something wrong. You have to do something." And I'm just shaking my head, "What?" And I'm looking around and it's like, okay, there's nobody here. And then I realized that Pappy was so concerned that she opened up a channel to talk to me. And that's what we're now doing. We're taking this whole spiritual relationship with the horses to such a much deeper level. Whereas our horses now are working with people long distance. They're participating in drumming journeys. They're entering people's dreams. They're working at such a high level right now, at a spiritual level. It's just fascinating. I love it. Anyways, I got off track there. Sorry about that.
Actually, I was going to ask you about all that too. Now, the contributors to the book, Healing with Horses, are all from the FEEL program. What is the FEEL program? And because it connects in with some of what you're just talking about.
The FEEL program stands for Facilitated Equine Experiential Learning. And this is a program where we train people how to do this magical work with the horses. And it's a 6 to 7 month training program. And we started doing this in 2008. The horses asked us to do it because they wanted more people out there, first off, connecting and creating this deep relationship with horses. And they wanted more people to experience this work. And so we started training people. We have over 150 graduates in North America right now, and one person in Sweden. And it's just an incredibly intuitive, transformative, profound journey. A lot of people say, even if I never take the workout, it's so worthwhile going through, because, of course, the horses are your teachers as you're going through the program. So they're working with you on all kinds of levels. And we introduce a lot of spiritual connection to the horses in the FEEL program, because that's where I feel the richness is the more that we can open up our own spirituality, the more the horses open up theirs. They're connected to their own species wisdom, which Linda calls the horse ancestors. And so it's allowed me to connect into the horse ancestors, into their species wisdom, to connect into our master teachers who have passed on. It's such a rich environment. So anyways, going back to the training, we provide incredible support for people going through our training program. We have what we call our FEEL alumni, And this is Graduates. It's another not-for-profit organization that we have a steering committee. We have various committees. We have Honoring the Horse Committee, and that's where we keep delving deeper and deeper into this horse-human bond and where it can take both of us, both humans and horses. And we have conferences, and this book is a Field Alumni project, if you will. So it was 10 different authors that are all graduates of the Field program that are writing from their heart their experiences of what they've seen and felt of how the horses can help people heal. We also do videos. We do brochures. I mean, it's just, we're creating a whole engine, if you will, taking the horses out to the world. And it's an incredible life's calling, and it's so rewarding. And the horses truly are magical.
And, of course, the book, which I've been hooked to, I was telling you before the show that to those of you listening, Wendy was kind enough to send me the book. And so I've been so, involved with reading it that other things have sort of fallen by the wayside. So it's, what I can say about it is that it's packed with stories of horse-human connections and how horses have transformed the lives of humans and the other way around. So I highly recommend, if you're curious about this work and you want to know a little bit more about it, to buy this book. Now, where can people get the book?
They can get it through emailing Andre at horsespiritconnections.com. I know that's a long word. You can get it at amazon.ca, amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. So we were very lucky. We found this incredible publisher down in Colorado, of all places, who, when I broached her about the book, she got so excited. And she was very intuitive herself, and she actually connected in with the horse energy, and they just told her, you have to do this. So she's been one of our incredible believers in the work that we do.
Wendy, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a wonderful hour talking to you.
Well, thank you for letting me talk about my favorite subject, the horses.
To find out more about Wendy and Andre and the work that they do at Horse Spirit Connections, go to www.horsespiritconnections.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And thank you also to Marielle, who is in the background, as always, for everything that she does. The next show we have on, I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be yet, because we have a few on the go, but there's some good things coming. So tune in again next month, and thank you to everybody. Good night.